Go to 1 Timothy. Last week we touched on this, began this, and this week we'll kind of read down through, but then try and finish the chapter. And actually tie it in with this week coming up. So Paul, writing to Timothy, this young disciple, this young pastor. Timothy probably was saved, this believed he was saved on Paul's first missionary journey. And quickly, kind of hooked up with Paul and followed Paul, was discipled by Paul. Now, Timothy is a young pastor and he's at the church in Ephesus. And this is a church that really is written, we know quite a bit about, but what's neat is that we not only see the beginnings of the church in Acts, and then we see that Paul actually, by the Spirit, warned the church, some of what was going to come down the line, some of the things that were going to happen, later on after Paul left. And one of the major things that Paul talks about is that he wanted them really to be kind of on their tippy toes because he realized that once he left, there would be false teachers. Really, Paul calls them wolves. They're going to come in and they're going to try to eat the sheep. And so we're going to see that actually, when Jesus, we just studied this, I think Wednesday night, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples, and when he sends them out, into the Galilean area to preach the gospel. That's the main thing, to go and labor in the gospel. When he sends them, he says, don't take your knapsack, don't take a money bag, don't even take a change of clothes. You just go. Now you have to realize that'd be like us today, jumping in a car, maybe going to Buffalo, maybe going to Cleveland, maybe going to St. Louis, going out into the area and preaching the gospel. And Jesus told his disciples to go, and they really didn't need anything to go. All they needed was the truth of the gospel. They didn't need some big budget. They didn't need some team of crusaders. They didn't need anything. Just go and preach the gospel. Interesting, the 12 come back, and when they come back, it's the first time that now they were sent out the disciples, now they are apostles. They're turned apostles. Jesus says in the apostles, the 12 apostles, as they came back. An apostle, we're going to see, Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's one that is sent out with a message, and it's the message of the gospel. Anytime we go, we're really fulfilling, you might say, the ministry of an apostle. We're individuals that are sent with a message. We don't need to have some title stamped on us. We don't need to be called even pastor, even reverend, because there's nothing reverend really about anybody. But we just need to be disciples. We just need to be in love with Jesus and have a heart that, what Jesus, even if I'm not, and I don't know about you, when I was first saved, I'd never read the Bible. But boy, the very next day I was sharing what Jesus did in my life with everybody around me. So we all have a testimony, and we have a powerful means of ministry just by sharing what Jesus has done in our life, how he's transformed radically our lives. And so Jesus sends out the 12. Last week, we were talking about the fact that now there are more. There are more people that have been kind of around Jesus. Really, it's the end now of Jesus's Galilean ministry. And he has 70 men that he now sends out. And what I thought was funny, he says, I'm sending you out again. When he sends them out, he says, you don't need anything. You don't need a team. You don't need a budget. You don't need equipment. Don't take a money sack. Don't take a knapsack. I'm going to make a way for you. When you go out, you don't even have to take a travel trailer. You don't have to take a tent. You don't have to call ahead and make reservations at the hotel. I'm going to have for you, I'm going to provide for your needs. I'm going to feed you, I'm going to house you, and I'm going to clothe you, and that's all you need. Go. 70 of them he sends out. And what I like is he tells them, he looks at them, this is really encouraging. This will encourage us. When we go out into the world, Jesus sent those 70 out, and he says, and I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. I like Gail Irwin. He'd always say, we're Lambos. Lambo. Lambo going out into the world. It's interesting. There's nothing sugar-coated about going out into the world and preaching the gospel. And what's he saying? When we're out there in ministry, when we're out there sharing the word, it's not some easy street, easy. No, I mean, people are going to laugh at you. They might even punch you. They might reject you. They might, I can remember we were down in a warm mall and they tried to kick me out of there because we were sharing the gospel and talking to people about the gospel. And so it's interesting that we're going out, and contrary to what a lot of the teaching, we're going to go and punch somebody in the face. No, we're going out as lambs among wolves. Wow. How many of you ever heard of Mike and I? We've been in wolf country. We've seen them. I do not like them. Especially when there's more than one. All they are is killing machine. They are a powerful, really, I think they're an awful. Isn't it interesting? These people, they kill babies. And it's the same people. They kill babies, but they make the wolf, it's like this beautiful, wonderful animal. And we've got to introduce wolves. I wish they'd introduce them in L.A. or somewhere. leave the elk and my game alone. They ought to release them in Chicago. Have a pack running in Chicago. Few packs, But all they do is they decimate, the elk and the other animals. They're awful. And so that's a lamb would not survive, right? You see Jurassic Park, they put the lamb in there and you'd see a leg fly out. Doesn't stand a chance, right? So we're going to see that Paul's writing to Timothy because now Timothy is in ministry, and Timothy, don't give up. Stand strong. Keep preaching the gospel in the midst of opposition. So let's read down through here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. We talked all about this. Paul, Saul, go back and read. We're going to end today with what God did with Saul. Powerful. What God has done with every one of our lives as we sit here this morning. And I think we need to remember what God's done. I think we need to not forget where we've come from. Because when we forget where we've come from, then we can lose our heart for the gospel. And the other thing is our hearts can become hard. Especially, again, when we're out there in the world and we're out in unbeliever world. We're out, we're not in, the Christian, safe zone. The home fellowship, the Sunday morning service. We're out in the war zone. And so we can lose our compassion and our hearts can become hard. Paul was an apostle, and he was an apostle because God made him an apostle. Jesus called him to be an apostle. He's writing to Timothy, a true son in the faith. One who had been transformed by the power of God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. We receive God's grace and then we experience His peace. And boy, we want to live a life of mercy. His mercy is new to us every single morning. And I think that's just kind of a verse to remind us that it's, 24-hour-a-day available, just continually be poured out, into our lives. God's mercy is upon us, and we need to be merciful people. Again, in that world, it's very rough at times. Now, as I urged you, when I went into Macedonia, Paul had been in prison. And Paul and Silas were released from prison. And Paul really desired to go back to Ephesus. But he didn't make it back to Ephesus, and he was in Macedonia, and he writes this letter to Timothy. And what's his first thing that he wants Timothy to do again? Remain. Remain. Remain for us this morning. Remain in the faith. Let's not always be looking to cut and run somewhere else, to start something somewhere else. God has us here. Now, if God calls us and moves us, that's fine. But let's be content where God has us, and let's continue in the work and in the ministry and laboring in the gospel. Let's continue to remain where God has us. He has us where He has us for a reason. And so remain. Timothy, remain in Ephesus. Don't leave. Even though it's hard. Even though you're being attacked. Even though, again, he's a young... Can you imagine Timothy, again, he's a young man now. Early 20s, maybe mid-20s. They're not quite sure. But, compare that to, again, who he's up against. These scribes and these Pharisees and these Judaizers, some of these teachers, quote, teachers of the law, and so on. I mean, these guys were like the university professors. I was talking to, in February, we were down at the castle, I was talking to a guy from Michigan. One of the pastors from Michigan, and he was saying that he found himself in a situation where this guy wanted to debate him, on the truths of the scripture, and I'm thinking, oh man, I don't know if I could do that. When I was talking to him, I said, oh man, to be on TV or to be on the radio and to debate, this person, I don't know, whether I could do it. And he was just telling me what he went through. And, here's this guy who's a professor. It was a professor at a college that wanted to debate him. And so they went on the radio right at the college and they did this debate. And I'm going, wow, here's this guy. Again, he's got the whole, academia behind him, and he's the expert, and he's the genius, and so on. And here's this lowly pastor, here's this pastor who didn't even go to college, didn't even go to seminary. Has no initials before or after his name, and he's going to debate this guy. And the beauty of it is that we can, because we have the truth of the scriptures. We have the truth of the word. And so this is Timothy. You think of Timothy, you think of this young man being confronted by these kind of things. You know, who's going to believe a young guy? You know, who's, as he comes against these false teachers? You know, how do you debate somebody where the Lord told, I've spoken to him. Recently I spoke to somebody. The Lord told me. I want to, and I did say this. Well, the Lord ain't going to tell you something that isn't in the Word. Well, yeah, but there's revelation beyond. No, there isn't. No, but again, even in the Pentecostal, in the church, in the Pentecostal and charismatic, you know, the charismania, you know, areas today, they believe that. You know, they believe that they, you know, the Lord tells them stuff. And I believe the Lord will tell us stuff. But he won't tell us stuff that isn't here, that isn't consistent with what's in here. And it won't be some new revelatory thing. You know, all that we have for faith and godliness is found right here. And so there's no secret keys. There's no secret messages. And that's part of what Timothy was facing. These Judaizers that were using their ancestry and claiming that they were connected to Aaron, the high priest of 1,000 years, you know, 1,700 years ago, that they're connected to Moses. They're even connected to Abraham. And they can prove it because of this. They are spiritually more gifted and open and they're receiving things spiritually that nobody else can receive. And you've got, it's kind of like a Joseph Smith thing. If I find a special kind of glasses, you know, I can read the hieroglyphics and I can interpret what God's saying. And I'm the only one that can. Just stay away from anybody that's doing that. Because they're false teachers. And so that's what Timothy was up against. And Paul's saying, man, stand strong. Stand against them. And I think that we need to stand against it today. We need to stand against this stuff. That marriage is between a man and a woman. That's it. There are not alternate lifestyles. Look at where this is going. You know, now there isn't gender. Wow, where does that come from? If it doesn't come right out of the pit of hell, I don't know where it comes from. There's no science, there's no intellect behind any of it. It's scary. I don't know if it's true or not. I heard report, there are schools, they're going in. The schools are. The teachers are. 5 and 6 and 7 year olds. You want to be a girl? Yeah, you're a girl. Go ahead and be a girl and you're a guy. And they're not telling the parents. And it is, it's crazy. We need to stand against that kind of stuff. You know, God instituted marriage. And it's between a man and a woman. I love, you know, we can love the homosexuals and the lesbians. We need to realize that they're just in a sinful lifestyle. They're no different than the murderer, the robber. They're no different than me. A liar and a cheat and an adulterer. We're sinners. But we don't condone the sin. And we don't call it something else. You know, it's easy to, you know, it's an alternate lifestyle. I'm just having a midlife crisis. No, I'm in sin. It's sin. It's just, it's rebellion. It's wickedness. And I have to realize that that's where my heart tends to go. And so we need to stand against this kind of stuff. You know, we need to stand as Christians. You know, certainly as we teach it, that's why we try and just stay with there it is. You know, we're studying it today, and geez, isn't it something that God deals with that? That God speaks the truth on that. And so, somebody just asked me, why don't you do topical things? We do every Sunday, we do topical things. Every Sunday we do. And you know what? We won't just stay on one topic. Our favorite pet peeve topic. We'll hit every topic that's in the Bible because we're going through the whole Bible. So we're doing it. So there we go. As I urged you, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Stop doing it. You're not, and what Timothy, he's the pastor. He's saying you're not going to do it in this church. We know, again, Acts chapter 20. This false teaching, part of the false teaching that Paul speaks of, is going to come right up from within the church. It would be like today, Paul coming in here and saying, hey guys, Calvary Chapel, watch out. I'm leaving you. I want you to continue in the gospel and in the doctrine and the teachings that I've laid out for you. But realize when I leave, just watch it. Because there are some, maybe even from among, you know, it's like Paul could look at Jim and say, you know, Jim, he could have ulterior motives. He wants to be the pastor. So he's going to rise up from within. See, we always think it's from without. The church in America is hardly, I think it's hardly, it's all from, most of the goofiness is from within. You know, I want this or I want that. Oh, they don't do that. They all, I'm called, and it's division and it's divisiveness. It's from within. It's torn apart from within. Now, you can see coming down the road, I mean, the from without, you could see, you can't it's hate speech if you say the word homosexual. You're going to be fined. On certain college campuses, you're fined if you use the word woman or man. Maybe they'll come and say you need to have a safe space in your church. I don't know what they say. But you know what? Then you're going to stand against that. So remain. Charge some. And what Paul's saying is you're the pastor, Timothy, and you don't allow it. I wouldn't allow it here. Gifts of the Spirit, I believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. And if somebody has a message in an unknown tongue, there's a way, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, just do what those chapters say. And if you do it here, you do it the way Paul defines it, awesome. You don't, I'm going to ask you not to do it. See what I'm saying? I'm the pastor. And not only I, but there's a lot of guys here as equipped as I am. Hey, don't do it. We will not allow that. Different people ask me, again, these are just little issues. All these books about I've died and gone to heaven. We won't teach them here. We won't invite the authors in here. Because it's not scriptural. Again, if it was, listen, Jesus, if God wanted us to know about heaven, he could have told us about it. I think the best one would have been Lazarus. Well, Jesus himself, the best one. But if not Jesus, Lazarus. If God wants to know of anything, he's dead for 4 days. He's rotting. His body is decaying. He stinks. Man, when he come back to life, don't you think he would have wrote a book? And it would have been included? Man, this is what heaven is. He didn't do it. Why? Because I think there are some things that God is silent on, and he's going to remain silent until we see him face to face, and then we're going to know. Somebody just recently, that book on the shack, that guy, it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. And so, no, I won't recommend, I say don't read it. I tell you, don't read it. Or if you read it, you better really read it with your antennas up. Because there's stuff in there, it's just not right. Do you understand? We're not afraid to say stuff like that. Yeah, but they're on TV. So what? Doesn't make it right. Somebody got enough money, they can go on TV. If somebody's got enough money, they can have their own satellite network. That's why they have it. You look at the background of some of these guys that have their own satellite networks. You know, why would one person even listen to them? If you look at their background, I'm not trying to say because somebody's made a mistake they can't have their own satellite network. These guys have done stuff just continually done. I mean, they're living really wicked, sinful lifestyles, claiming to be pastors. And they're claiming to be more than that. They're claiming to be prophets and apostles and all this stuff. And people have sent them money. And they have their satellite networks. Well, great. I'm glad I have a on-off button. So we'll stand against. You see, we're called to stand against that kind of stuff. Interesting. Going back to our study Wednesday night, Jesus told those 70 disciples, elders, as he sent them out, one thing he said, you know what, as you're along your way, don't greet someone along the way. What is Jesus saying? Is he saying don't be friendly? Don't be rude to people? No. He said, you know what? I'm sending you to preach the gospel. I don't want you to meet Joe along the way and end up going out golfing for the next 3 weeks. You've got a job to do. I've sent you on a mission. Don't get sidetracked. And that's all this stuff is. It's just, you know, it is the enemy. He would just love to sidetrack us on all this stuff. So, you know, just stay away from it. Look at what he says. Don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies. And that's the certain of these Judaizers, they were tracing their genealogy back and then claiming like a special class, like the Nicolaitans, that the upper class, the laity, the normal person can't. I think that's maybe in Roman Catholicism a lot. You know, you go to the priest, everything's through the priest. You and I don't have the ability, you know. And what's sad, they don't even preach the gospel, but you go to the, everything's through a mediator who is a man. No, we have a mediator, it's Jesus Christ. And so we go to Jesus. We don't go to Mary. We don't go to some man. We don't go to a pope or a cardinal or anything like that. We go to Jesus. And so there isn't this special class. You can know the scriptures as well. You can know them even more than I know them. There's nothing... I'm not a special class of person. I just, you know, like Doug is a brazer. Do you braze stuff at your work? He's an assembler. What are you? He's a machine operator. There's a bus driver. There's a marketing, what are you?
Salesman.
There's a salesman. We all have different ministries, in essence,
One isn't his job is just as important as any other job. And so that's the body. We, you know, it's made up of all kinds of different ministries, but we're all one body. And so, you know, there's no special class. Now, the purpose of the commandment, okay. So, don't give heed to these sayings. What do? All they do is cause disputes. All they do is cause division. You can see that. Rather, we would rather be edified, right? The scriptures are given really for our teaching, for our correction, for our edification in the faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. It's just hypocritical talk. It's empty talk. And when you look at, again, some of these sayings that are even in the church today, there's no substance to them. It will not change a heart or a life. It will not grow my faith in any way, shape, or form. It's empty. And again, all Paul's saying is stay away from it. It's not, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by one thing, by the Word of God. Not even from my experience. Not even from seeing a miracle. Faith comes from the Word of God. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Again, he's going back, I think, to these, again, the Jewish element of this. Understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Paul's saying that these teachers don't even know, they have no knowledge, true knowledge of the Scriptures. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. What were they doing? Again, they were using it for manipulation. They were using it for position. They were abusing it. And they were using it in a way that that the Bible says that it can't even be used. Paul says this, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. Again, they were walking around with their robes, right? They're walking around hypocritically, putting on a certain face, saying, look at us. Look at how good we are, upright we are. Look how perfectly we're keeping the law. We're saved. But it wasn't made for a righteous person. What was the law made for? The law is our schoolmaster, Romans. The law was given so that we might know what sin is and know that we're sinners. It was given for the what? For the lawless, the insubordinate, for the ungodly, for sinners, for the unholy, for the profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, sodomites, kidnappers, liars, perjurers. Wow, what a list. Thank God we're not that. Yeah, we're looking in the mirror. That's what the law does. The law shows us that that's what I am. And if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Timothy, don't allow them to teach it. Don't allow them to teach that if they, again, in the Jews, the Mishnah, right? They took the law and then they have chapters and books breaking down the law. And ultimately, if you read the way they break it down, they can keep it. So they come and they say, you shall basically keep the Sabbath day and make it holy. Oh, this is how we keep the Sabbath day and make it holy. We only walk. We walk no more than 100 paces on the Sabbath. We lift no more than so many pounds, or maybe it was ounces, on the Sabbath. You have all this stuff, and they can checklist. Oh yeah, I only walk 29 steps. Yes. Oh, I'm keeping the law. I'm saved. I'm holy. And Paul's saying, No, you don't even know. What's he saying? He's saying they don't even know what they're talking about. That's not even the purpose of the law. It's impossible. It's impossible to keep the law. What if I have broken the law in one instance? Doesn't the Bible say I've broken it all? And there's one consequence of that. What is that? Death and judgment. There's no two ways around it. And that's what the law does. And so I realize I am totally lost. I'm in for eternal death and eternal judgment. What can I do? Oh, there is an answer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Paul talks about himself. Look at how he talks about himself in verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although, what was Paul? Oh boy. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent. Insolent. Man, he was a violent. He threw people in prison and had them killed. He was a violent, an insolent man. In that word in the Greek too, it's like not only violent, but there was an arrogance about him. He was doing this for God. He was doing God's will. He was right. He was holy. Killing people, he's holy. Killing people, he's doing us right. It's hard to get understand that, but that's where he was. But isn't it wonderful that little conjunction? But it wasn't hopeless. I wasn't eternally lost. But there was a way, but there was an answer. I obtain mercy. I think that's why Paul, again, that's one of the reasons he puts that mercy in there. It's the only time he does it in 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus. Mercy, it's such a huge thing. God was so merciful to me. Look at what he calls himself. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, as Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, what? Of whom I am the biggest, the worst. That's what he's saying. Paul came to isn't that an amazing thing? Here's a man who thinks he's the next thing to Jesus, maybe, to God. So right and so holy, and now look at him. He sees himself as the chiefest, the worst, the biggest, the most horrible sinner. Wow. What a humbling, huh? What a breaking had to have taken place in Paul's heart. That's an amazing thing. To me, that as we go through this week, and then we look at Friday. Boy, it's a good Friday. Why? Because the gospel, because of what Jesus did, is the only thing that can break the hardness and the lostness and the pride and the arrogance of a human heart. Just crush it. And that's what happened to Paul. I just think that wow, you know, here's this guy, and he thinks he's so right and so perfect and so holy and so righteous and so altogether. And the truth of it is there was nothing that was right, holy, or altogether about him. And then he encountered Jesus. And the truth of who he was like just, pounded into him as he was crushed and broken. And now Paul looks back and there's no arrogance. Look how many times you think of Paul, you know, when he's writing these letters and when he's talking and he's even bringing up issues. You know, how many times he says, once we've read in all the, we've gone through a number of his letters now. Once he says, I'm telling you to do this. Once. I think he should have been doing it the whole time. But that's the humility and the brokenness of Paul. He's saying, you know what? I think Paul knew I can't make you do it. Just like there are Christians. What do you think those Christians were saying to Paul when he was dragging them off? I went, what, Stephen? That's why I think that really got Paul. When Stephen was stoned. And Paul was standing there. Watching that. Participating in that. You think of what... Boy, none of that changed Paul. Jesus changed him. The Holy Spirit changed him. Transformed him. I'm going, whoa. And I think Paul realized, I can't make anybody do anything. And so what? I beg you. I beg you. That's a humbling thing. I'd like to tell you, I'd like to just run this ship like the commander. But I can't. It's Jesus' ship. And so I'm just an under shepherd. You know, I just beg you. I beg you just to seek Jesus. I beg you to today, none of us. Only you can't make me do a single thing. You can't do it. You can pray for me. And hopefully I will respond to the word of God and to the wooing and the work and the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. Jesus says to the 70 disciples, pray. Pray for the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest is ready. The harvest is white. The harvest is full. There are no laborers. There are not enough laborers. Pray for laborers. Pray, pray, pray. And so Paul saw himself as the greatest, the chief of sinners. And what changed it? Jesus. Jesus transformed his life. That's what this week's about. This, you know, wow. And Christmas is awesome, but what did Jesus come? He came into the world to save. He didn't come to destroy. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Thank God we have a Savior. For this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering. I think what Paul's saying, man, some of those people knew Paul. I think pre-Christ and after Christ, post-Christ. And he's saying, man, just look, there's a power of a personal testimony right there. You knew who I was. And you know me now. How powerful is that? That they might know Christ, the patience, the long-suffering, the forbearance of Christ. I have a neighbor guy, I grew up with him. We rode the bus together. And he does construction on the side. Every once in a while, I'll see him in Carter's or wherever. A month ago, I saw him in there. He looks at me, he goes, "York! You still preaching?" And I go, "Yeah," and then he just starts laughing. Every time I see him, it's the same story. You know, "I can't believe you're a preacher." Because he knew me before I was a preacher. And I told him, I said, named Freeman. We called him Freeman. His name's Fred. Freeman, Jesus can do that for you too. He can change you. Jesus changed me. He changed my life. He transformed my life. That's why I'm a preacher. And he'll just laugh. You know, he doesn't get it, but you know, it's sad. And I think that this is what Paul's saying, that Christ might be known, that his character, Christ's character, he's a God of mercy, he's a God of salvation, he's a God of long-suffering, he's a God of grace. And then there's a hymn. We should have done this hymn today. It's one of my favorite hymns. You talk about praise. I mean, it's just like this spontaneous. This is spontaneous worship. Right here. Not that stuff you're seeing out there today. Wow. "Now to the King." You know, Paul, it's just like a wave comes over him. "Now to the King eternal, invisible, to God who alone is wise." Wow. "Now to Jesus, the King eternal." Look at what's in there. The King eternal. He's immortal, invisible. He alone, and in him alone, is truth and wisdom. The gospel. Be honor and glory forever and ever. It's blowing Paul's mind. He, you know, that God would save a wretch like you and I. It doesn't impact it, right? Because we sing it. I sing that song probably 3 times a week at different places. You know, the places I go, they always want "Amazing Grace." And you sing it so much, it's just amazing. It's just like, amazing. You know, that's how my heart is. Amazing Grace. You know, it's not impacting me at all, the truth of what I'm saying there. What amazing grace it is. That what was he saying? They were teaching him that the law was going to save him. Paul said, "No, it's none of that. It's God's amazing grace. It's the only thing that's going to get you where you need to go. It's because of his grace." And as Paul looks at his life in the past and realizes where he is now and thinks that there would be a God that was so loving and so personal that was willing to do that for him and for you and for me and for all mankind, for sinners. Oh my gosh, that's the kind of God that I want to serve, that I want to respond to, that is real. That's who we worship. And it just blows his mind and "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise." You think of all man's sayings. You know, they write all, you know, Joseph Smith, he thought he was so smart. Bertrand Russell, he thought he was so smart. You know, all these cult leaders, they think they're so small, and it's just emptiness. Really, it's just stupid. That God, that
I would be impossible. I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do but accept what Jesus has done. Oh my goodness. That doesn't make sense. Wow. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. That's that. And then let's just finish it up. Three verses. This charge. So Timothy. Timothy's done the same for you. He's done the same for every believer there in Ephesus. Stay true to the gospel. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get in all this other stuff. Now, we just came through Thessalonians. 27% of the scriptures is prophetic. We need to be in prophecy. We need to not shun it and ignore it. We live in the last days. We need to be aware. We need to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to be all those things. And don't misunderstand me. If I would never go into all that stuff, it would be enough for me just to stay right at, you know what, Jesus saves, and that's all I'm going to share. And that's all I'm going to teach. That'd be pretty powerful. And I'd stay true to the gospel doing it. And I think that's what Paul's saying. Don't get sidetracked. We want to go through the old scripture. But don't get sidetracked on all this other stuff. You know, sometimes I get so distracted on some of this other stuff, then I start looking at myself and I say, wow. If I'm sharing with that kind of stuff with it to an unbeliever, what in the world is he thinking? He's probably thinking, man, this guy's from Mars. There are aliens. And they're here. And I'm going to stay as far away from them as I can get. That guy's so goofy. It so diminishes the power of the truth. And that person, that unbeliever, that person doesn't need to know all this stuff. They need to know they're sinners and that Jesus can save them. And so Paul's just saying, now I charge you. This charge I commit to you, Timothy, my son. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you. You know, the church, we see that they laid hands and sent. You know, maybe when they were praying, sending Timothy out to go with Paul, or maybe when Paul left Timothy at Ephesus, maybe the whole church gathered around, laid hands on him and prayed for him. And maybe during that time, maybe there was prophecies and words, you know, concerning Timothy and the ministry and so on. They must have been, there was something. And they were encouraging things that were spoken to Timothy. Now these things that were spoken. Timothy, you know what? Stay in there. Stand strong. And look at how he depicts it. That by them. You know, maybe believe these things. Maybe grab hold of these things that were prophesied of you. Because they're going to help you. Stay in the fun, wonderful, you know, thing that you're in. They're going to help you, at the great festival. Let's have a Christian Ephesus festival. Kingdom-bound Ephesus, at the water park. That you'd be encouraged. What in the war? You know what? I've never been to war, never wanted to go to war. Avoided war when I had the opportunity. Got the deferment. Just being honest. I've never talked to anybody that's been in war that loved it. And their lives were forever changed. Timothy's at war. We're at war. There's nothing pretty about it. So
Paul's saying, Timothy, I want you to wage war here, good war. And again, as Timothy stands strong in the scriptures, it's going to be good warfare. Now look at what he says, lastly, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith. And they've suffered shipwreck. They're shipwrecked, and everybody that follows them is shipwrecked. It's not fun to be shipwrecked. And he names two of them, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander. We don't know a lot about them, but apparently they were elders or teachers, something. And they're teaching false doctrine. And they're making a wreck of the faith, of any life that's connected with them, and of their lives. They shipwrecked the faith. And what's Timothy to do? Oh, that's okay. Oh, they're not hurting anybody. Oh, I think I'll have them speak at my church, and you know, I'll offer their book to everybody in my congregation. Now, get out of here, and I'm actually delivering you over to Satan because you're dealing with eternal souls here. That's what we forget. We think that these things are harmless. And Paul says that they've been delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So it's a serious sign. You know, and that's why we try and take it serious, you know. So these encouragements. Stand strong. Never forget where we've come from. And the greatness, the awesomeness of our Savior Jesus as we go through this week, this last week of Jesus's life as he's going to the cross. Think of those things. Think of why he was doing it. Lord, help us. Lord, help us this week even to contemplate, Lord, the awesome sacrifice that you were willing to make. Lord, if there's any area of our life, Lord, that is a distraction, Lord, show it to us. Lord, if we've stopped along the way to greet something that we shouldn't be necessarily messing with, Lord, show us. And Lord, just give us that resolve, Lord, to continue to live for the gospel. Lord, continue to be a disciple. Lord, to continue to share the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.